Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Sword Art Online fans! Welcome to another edition of the SAO2 Recap Show. Today we are going to talk about episode 19, Zekin, and episode 20, Sleeping Nights. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing okay.
Swell.
Swell. That's good to hear. Joining me on the panel tonight, Tari Miller.
Ichiban da yo.
Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
We've got Stephen Lemieux on the ones and twos.
Yep.
And unfortunately, Liz Grishmaui can't be here today, but I'm your host, Megan Salinas. We will carry on. And guys, all in all, what did you think of these two?
They were interesting. It's not a bad sort of, oh, well, that was interesting. Okay, it's more of an, I'm intrigued, places chin on fist and leans in intriguingly. I'm narrating myself like you do now.
Yes.
I caught the Tories.
As you should.
Oh, no, it's contagious.
We call
do
it
Do you have it already?
No.
But, Tari, what was your first thought?
I thought it was really fun. Like, it caught me in ways I didn't expect, because it was these two opposing feelings of, like, this guttural resistance to Asuna's home life, and then this other story of me going, oh my gosh, super awesome lady characters doing awesome things.
Kirito's no longer our main character. And I've made jokes about that, but right now it's actually happening.
It's almost bizarre, because we've been talking about it since the very first arc, you know, way back in Aincrad. And we were talking about how much we would love a story focused around Asuna, and we're finally getting that. And so it's almost a little weird, like, you're like, it's kind of like, am I allowed to have the cake? Because I really want to have my cake and eat it too. And that's kind of what I feel like a little bit, is we've been asking for it, and ask and ye shall receive.
All we can do is hope that the cake is not a lie.
You're thinking, yeah, like, please don't get kidnapped. Please don't get kidnapped.
Yeah,
please don't
get kidnapped. A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned.
It's like she's getting screen time and it's not in a cage? All right.
But it astounds me how little SAO2 has been about Kirito.
Yeah.
Because that entire first arc was mostly about Sinon, where Kirito was kind of like a side character, and the only reason we view him as our focal point is because of the original Sword Art Online series. And then we had that kind of filler arc with Excalibur, where it was a group effort. You know, Kirito was there and he was center stage, but it was everybody.
And I feel like Leafa and Klein had a lot more to do with that.
Yeah, that was kind of more Sugu's story.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was brief, but it, you know, that was kind of the focal point with that. And then here, we're finally getting a story about Asuna, starring Asuna.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if this is going to last through to the end of the season, or if we're going to get another very short arc to round things out.
I don't know. From what I've heard, and I know nothing about this particular arc, from what I've heard, this arc is mainly about Asuna. I don't know how long the arc is, though.
Right.
So, I don't know if anyone does at this point.
No,
unless
I guess
they were in production.
Wikipedia only has, like, the next episode listed.
Yeah,
it doesn't have a scheduling date for any of the other ones yet.
But hey, as of today, we're caught up.
Yeah! That is the other thing.
Those of you who have the light novels, don't even start. Don't even start.
Moving forward after this week, guys, we'll be covering one episode at a time as they come out. So we're finally done playing catch up. That's kind of fun.
Super exciting.
Well, let's go ahead and get started. But before we talk about what happened in the episode, I wanted to talk really quick about your guys' initial reaction to the changed opening. Because not only did it change right when we got the Excalibur arc, which makes sense. At the very beginning of this arc, it changed again to feature new characters, and then starting with this one, it changed yet again as we get more information about the story.
It was, who the hell are these people? That's really all I had because it was like, okay, this looks a lot like female Kirito kicking around here, and obviously they're the main character of their... Asuna's supposed to be the main character of this arc. Why isn't she featured more heavily in the opening theme? So I was just kind of, all right.
Sorry.
I thought, like, I love when anime does that. Like, I like that they can just adapt their openings to go along with what's going on. Like, there was another one that I was watching that every episode, a new character would be featured.
And
so it takes,
what was that?
It was Gunsword.
Huh.
Yeah.
Some title.
Yeah, well, it's funny because it follows a guy with a gun sword, but and then another guy with a sword gun.
You mean
gun.
Final Fantasy VIII?
It's also a gun, Katie.
But it,
everything's also a gun.
It is. Oh, that's a yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Reference. Anyway, continue.
I like when shows go that extra mile to go, all right, we're going to show you that we're putting a little more effort into this, and we're going to let you experience something new every time that you come in here.
And I kind of like that because, you know, a little bit of the complaints that we had last season was we felt like the opening had given away too much. But then at the beginning of SAO2, they changed the opening when it got revealed that Laughing Coffin was involved. They changed the opening ever so slightly to be like, okay, here's that thing that, you know, the bomb we dropped last episode. Now it's a part of the opening.
Mm-hmm.
But it still had the put two and two together. Oh, this guy. Oh, now it's the murderer. I wonder if they're related.
Yeah, no. It was
seriously,
still...
I'm just being you today.
Yeah.
She's channeling Tari.
But channeling him, and he's right here.
I really liked this opening because, you know, it was really cool to see something really different, and I wasn't expecting it. I was kind of like with you with, who the hell are you? but it was still really fun.
And what are you doing in my opening?
I almost would have preferred if they had waited one more episode after Yuki's reveal to change up the opening. But you know what? I'm not complaining. It was cool.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah, I'm with you on that one.
So let's go ahead and talk about these episodes, because episode 19 starts off with Asuna, you know, the homework party's wrapped up, and she's logging off. And we see that after she logs off, she's very resigned, you know, gets ready and makes her way downstairs to have dinner with her mother, which is... just with her mother. You know, her brother's out, and her dad is nowhere to be seen.
Her dad's retired. He's probably in the Bahamas playing golf. Just like, I am so done with everything involved with this. Goodbye, everyone. Sir no longer appearing in this anime.
I guess, but...
can you blame him?
I'm conflicted on this. I thought it was a really, like, good, like, well-done scene, but... all in all, it's, you know, they obviously set up Asuna's mom to be the antagonist and to seem unreasonable. So, but at the same time, her daughter was in a death game for 2 years, and, you know, when you're in a very competitive culture, it's like you want your kid to succeed, and you want your kid to do the best that they can and to go far in life. And that's true of parents here, too. And also, there's kind of a little case of parents living vicariously through their children the success that their children has.
Yeah.
So all in all, the big question is with Asuna's mom, is this understandable or is it unreasonable? And they play it up very much like it's unreasonable because it's, you know, Asuna's our point of view.
Right. Well,
I go ahead.
No.
I feel like it becomes unreasonable when it gets to, no, you can't do that anymore. No, you can't see your friends anymore. No, you don't ever get homework done when you're with your friends. You need to do it on your own. No, you don't. Basically, I don't trust anything you do. I am going to take full control of your life and shut off everything that makes you happy to still be around. That's when it gets unreasonable.
And the excuse is, I want you to be happy.
Right. It's like, if you wanted her to be happy, you wouldn't be yelling at her for doing her homework with her friends. Yeah. There's a... yeah, no.
Tari?
I was basically in the same vein in that, like, what she's doing isn't necessarily unreasonable. It's the way that she's doing it that is the issue. Like, I mean... it's like, as you were saying, like, you know, every parent wants the best for their kid. And so, like, I could see where her mom is coming from in that she doesn't want her, as we find out, she doesn't want her daughter to end up the way that she was, or she doesn't want her Asuna to end up like a poor woman with nothing.
Well, Asuna's family is not poor.
Right, right. But, I mean, she wants her to be stable,
yeah,
essentially.
And Asuna makes the point, like, are you ashamed of Grandma and Grandpa because you weren't born into high status?
Yeah.
So it's idea versus execution here. She wants the best for her kid, but boy, is she going about it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Well, and I certainly don't want to defend her because she's... The series clearly frames her as being in the wrong,
yeah,
in this particular case.
Then and again, the series has not always been good with its framing.
So, let's be real about that for a little
ass
bit.
The shots. Series, yeah,
not the kind of framing I was talking about, but double meanings.
I know what you mean. But yeah, no, I know what you mean. But the flip side of that is we didn't get to see Asuna and her mother interact prior to going into the game, and we didn't get to see her mother's reaction when she was stuck in a coma. Like, the one of the very few things that episode 15 did right of the original SAO series was just that scene of Sugu over Kirito's bed weeping, you know, with no dialogue. Like, it was just the music, and she was just crying over his bed as he's in a coma. That said so much about their, you know, about their relationship as brother and sister and about his family's emotional state as he's stuck in the game. And we don't get any of that with Asuna's family. We get her dad visiting her, but then that's completely blindsided by the overarching villain arc in that, yeah, particular part of the series.
Right.
So it's kind of like Asuna's family itself is an afterthought. And this is the first time we're really getting one-on-one time with Asuna and any member of her family.
True.
So it could be that her mother is maybe trying to overcorrect. Like, I made the mistake of giving you too much freedom, and it cost you 2 years of your life, and now I'm not going to repeat that mistake again.
She could also be status hungry.
That
just
could be
it, too.
Just
looking at these things, and I hate to draw in these stereotypes, but the anime deals in them. She is a younger, attractive woman married to an older, high-status gentleman. And they've made it very clear that, yeah, she was ashamed of her parents and she was born low class and wanted to be high class and married into it. And now, after the drama that has gone down, Dad has just swanned out of the picture, which makes me wonder how much love there was in that marriage to begin with, how much they got along, or whether it was a marriage of convenience in much, not convenience, opportunity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it arranged. In much the same way that Mommy Dearest is trying to set up for Asuna now.
Yeah, and that's exactly what she refers to it as, is marriage can be a career opportunity as well. And she wants her daughter to excel and have the best career possible. And some of that, and it doesn't even have to be the guy she was trying to set her up with. And she actually blames Asuna's father for the poor choice of Sugo back in the original SAO. She's like, your father was that, he was the one that chose that kid. I had nothing to do with that. I'm trying to set you up with nice boys now. But even she goes, it doesn't have to be that guy. It just has to be somebody we deem good enough.
Yeah.
And that's
way,
not Kirito.
We Googled your boyfriend and he's not good enough. Like, he's a genius software engineer.
He's a government contractor.
He's going to be more than, give it a couple years, give him time to get through if he does do college. This guy's already doing a lot for technology. He's already smart. I don't know if savant is the term, but he knows his way around,
yeah,
it.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's
tech savvy.
Thank you.
On the bleeding edge of that. Like, at first glance, he's just some punk kid who she played a game with.
Yeah.
I mean, and from the mom standpoint, she's like, well, everything that you're doing, like, the school is subpar. You're just trying to hang out with your friends. It's like, you should be advancing as a human being,
well,
with normal people.
And there were murderers in that game, and her daughter is now, you know, grouped in with this group of people who, in probably her mother's opinion, are probably clinically psychotic. As we saw in the previous arc, there are indeed a few nut jobs.
Yeah.
Well, I think it shows just how completely dissociated her mother is from Asuna's life and her personality and her wants, because she makes this comment about, you know, those degenerates who were running around in the game for 2 years killing people, and Asuna makes the very good point that, I was one of them. I have a body count, Mom. But she just
doesn't want to see that about her daughter because her daughter has opportunities and has status
and is gifted and is intelligent. Yeah.
She sees her as a bulleted list of points to be sold and not a person.
Right.
And that's a huge problem.
Yeah. And it is very frustrating and kind of heartbreaking because everybody, you know, to an extent has to deal with expectations from their parents in the same way our parents had expectations from their parents and so on and so forth.
Yeah, but my mom still thinks I'm a person. So, you know, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, I don't think any of us...
My mom is well aware of the fact that I am a human being with my own wants and desires. And she treats me as such. And we have a great relationship.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have any kind of anything like that.
God. My mom and I do dinner alone. It's going to be like, okay, a bottle of wine, and are we ordering pizza, or are we going to cook something nice? Let's do something fun.
I don't see Asana and her mom doing that right now.
No.
It's just awkward and dim lighting.
I thought it was like 11 p.m. So it was, oh, thank you for working so late. Oh, well, you know, it's my job, and it's just the two of them, and it's dark, and just candles and fish fillets. It's like, are we sure they're not eating at, like, 10:30 or 11 o'clock? Because,
they need a little bit more natural light in there.
Yeah.
But light in general.
Yeah.
You have electricity. Use it.
Let's get some sconce in this bee.
But, you know, moving
Can
on from that,
that
point.
Get some sconce in this bee.
I don't know what that means, but
it's
I'm moving on because I don't understand.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, bro. Get some sconce in this bee.
Or, you know, they're rich. Why not have like a chandelier that lights up the room? I'd be all for that.
Yeah. People swing from it.
Exactly. Or try to drop it on
she
tables.
She does have
and
a brother. The brother was mentioned, but he is somewhere late and would not be home for dinner. So we do have this other sibling who exists, but they're not not appearing in this story, I suppose.
Asuna has not an older important. Brother who probably has not met Kirito. That would be a fun talk.
I think the brother might like Kirito. If he thinks like Asuna, not like Mom. If he thinks like Mom, someone's walking out of that with a knife wound. Can't say who.
Yeah, hard to say. But when this scene is done, again, it kind of set the tone for this episode and just kind of the contrast between what's going on in the real world and what's going on in the game world. Because what's going on in the real world is it's such a drag and it's so heartbreaking.
Reality sucks.
Yeah, and then what's going on in the game is like, ooh, fun times, adventure, and friendship, and all that other jazz.
Yeah.
And so when Asuna logs back into the game the next day because she's getting ready to go fight Zekin, she and Kirito have this quick talk. And Kirito, she wants to know basically why, what it was Kirito said to Zekin during this fight. And he said, I don't remember the exact quote, but he basically established that Zekin was some sort of permanent resident of the game.
Yeah.
Yes. And she's like, do you mean he's just like a hardcore gamer? And he's like, not exactly. You'll know it when you see it. Like, I'm not going to spell it out because it's, as we find out later, it's a secret.
Right.
And he's like, but you'll figure it out. Like, he has faith in her to be able to put two and two together.
He's a savant.
Yeah.
He's also our protagonist.
Yeah. And,
take a drink.
And that's actually why he wasn't allowed to be a part of this. He was too smart for his own good. He's like, oh, you found out the secret. Now you can't be a part of this adventure. You go sit off screen until we need you.
Think about what you've done.
You guys really are on the same wavelength today.
Weird.
It was kind of funny. But they do go, and a match with Zekin is wrapping up. We have a guy falling from the tree, and he surrenders. And that's when this girl flies down, and it's the girl from the opening. It's the girl we saw in the closing in the last episode. And she is Zekin. And I did love the image, because we were thinking the alternate account, like this was a front.
Well, this is a linguistics thing. Because in the Japanese language, they do have agender pronouns mm-hmm. in much the same way that we try to use they and semantics. Some people will argue it's not correct, whatever, whatever. Japanese do have an agender pronoun that isn't it.
Yeah.
However, the subtitles translated it as he. So as the audience, we were led on to believe that it was this guy. Asana just heard the agender pronoun and immediately thought male.
Mm-hmm. And it is funny because they didn't say that it was a man. It was just obviously the subtitles and everything like that.
Yeah, it would have been the agender pronoun.
But yeah, just this picture of this giant hulking knight just immediately evaporates as this cute little girl comes skimming down. And she's just like,
You said Tekken was a guy.
I never said anything of the sort. Pretty much.
Dang it, Liz.
And they kind of push her. They're like, okay, go get him.
And then she rounds on Kirito. Did you go easy on her because she's a girl? No.
She
still kicked my butt.
I would never, even though we established in the previous arc that I totally would.
This is different. This is my pride at stake.
Yeah, and that was a really funny scene too, and it was just so funny to see Asuna so thrown off because she was getting ready to fight somebody twice her size, not somebody shorter than her.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay, this is a thing.
And Yuki's introduction was pretty fantastic too, because the first thing she says is, "Oh hey, big sis, you want to fight?" And I wanted to know, what do you guys think of Yuki's introduction? Because I liked her right off the get-go, because she immediately subverted expectations.
Exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. Those exact words.
And she's just adorable to boot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't really often couple cutesiness with, like, bad Aery.
It's okay. I already said ass earlier.
Oh, sweet. Badassery. Which is great. She was immediately charming. I'm just going to keep fuddling with things.
Fuddling?
Yes, fuddling. She was immediately charming, and she was really, like, you wanted to follow her.
But it wasn't overbearing in that, I am the cute, adorable one of the series, and by God, you're going to love me! At which point we tend to hate those people.
Yeah, no, she wasn't super kawaii, or
she
however it's
like,
pronounced.
Kawaii.
That was it. Everyone loves me, and all the guys just fawning over her, and hearts everywhere. No.
And the little anime bubbles that they have everywhere.
They think that she's wonderful because she is, as we've said, a giant badass. And that's great. Like, that is a reason to like this person.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
And then to watch the fight itself. I don't know about you guys, but the first thing that caught my attention was the music.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if like it was if they've been doing this for a little bit and I just didn't notice, but all of a sudden when the fight kicked off, there was this awesome electric guitar instrumental and it blew me away.
I feel like that was a new piece.
It was really cool.
That is something I would have recognized before.
Yeah, I think so.
And the commenters are going to be like, actually, it was played here, 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 and here, and you were just not paying attention. Well, that happens.
We don't mention the music very often, but when we do, it's usually because there's a certain piece that really stands out. And this was one of those that really stood out that makes me really want to go and buy the soundtrack.
Well, it's the same people that did the music for Dot Hack.
Exactly.
They're very good at I'm stuck in a game, oh God, music. They really are. It's, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but
it starts
wonderful.
With a Y. Anyway,
Yuki Kajiura.
There we go.
Yes.
Well done.
Teamwork.
Yay.
Winner.
Again, I know we talked about it on the very, very first episode, but that was months ago.
That was a while ago.
Yeah.
May.
Anyway. But this, apart from the music, this was a lot of fun because it has been a long time since we've seen Asuna, like, really roll up her sleeves and get into a fight. We saw her finish off a couple bosses, but the last time we saw her fight someone, just her and someone else, I want to say it was fighting off that one guy.
In the Town of Beginnings, right?
No, it was... Town of Beginnings. I was thinking the guy from Laughing Coffin. But no, you're absolutely right. The last time we saw her take on a group of people was in the Town of Beginnings for that one where they went under the Town of Beginnings.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
Been so long. And even that was kind
of played... What the hell, Ceres? What the hell?
But the last serious one was when she was fighting that member of Laughing Coffin. And granted, we got some flashbacks in the previous arc where, you know, on that raid. But, again, that was a team effort.
Yeah.
We haven't had anything with just Asuna in a long time. And so it was great. And not only was it great to see her kind of have fun with it, but that moment where she switches from going... I couldn't live with myself as a swordswoman if I were to give up after getting hit just once. And just to see that switch where she gets super serious.
Oh, yeah.
And to see Yuki recognize that and go, oh, okay, I need to not mess around either.
Mommy's back. This fight is also tied up in her identity and what she's created for herself. Because obviously who she is in the game, she has a lot more agency than she does in real life because... Mom isn't running her every move in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's tied up a lot of who she is and who she wants to be as Asuna, the Lightning Flash, second in command of the Knights of the Blood Oath, from Sword Art Online. Because that was who she was every day for 2 years. And I brought this up last episode, but I think she was a lot happier doing that than she was in real life. She wanted to be back in real life. She understood that the game was not real, that she still had a physical body out there floating around that needed some loving. Wow, that came out
It was supposed to be TLC, but whoa, self.
Yeah.
And then we got R2.
I'm not going to touch that one. I'm not going to touch that one.
I just completely undermined my point.
Anyway.
It's nice to see her kind of turn that corner in this fight and go, no, I can still be that person. I am going to still be that person.
Yeah,
the person I want to be.
Especially because right after that conversation with her mom, she was like, that person, then, you know, who was the second in command, she's disappeared. She's gone. And so to see her, you know, turn that back around and go, no, I'm not going to let this beat me. It was very gratifying.
Yeah.
And so as they fight, it gets to the point where Yuki has to use the 11-hit combo in order to defeat Asuna, and that is something that the person hasn't used yet. Like, that is a first. And she doesn't go through with it, but even before she does, Asuna's like, you know what? I gave it my all, and if she has to resort to this to beat me, I have no regrets.
Yeah.
And that's when Yuki stops and goes, do you want to keep going? I mean, I got what I needed.
I choose you.
Let's go talk.
Yeah.
Up there somewhere. Whoosh.
And just kind of flies off with Asuna. Yeah. That was kind of funny.
And everyone on the ground is like, what? I had money riding on this. What do you mean there's no resolution?
What just happened?
I'm surprised that no one tried to follow her.
Yeah, I mean, you would.
Do you think Kirito would be like, shoot, shoot?
The thing about it is that Asuna, even though surprised, wasn't fighting back and wasn't saying, hey, I'm not going anywhere. If she did, then of course her friends would have jumped up to it. But because
she wasn't actually getting kidnapped.
Exactly.
Thank goodness.
And but, I get go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, I get the feeling that Kirito knows what's up.
He knows this secret that the rest of us aren't in on yet. So he's probably like, yeah. That's happening right now, and I'm going to go wait off screen until it's done.
My part in this episode is over.
But before the episode ends, they do stop, and Yuki turns to Asuna, and she's like, will you help me? Like, I've been searching for somebody. I need your help. Will you help me?
Please agree to this without having any context or terms.
Pretty much. And that's how episode 19 ends. And all in all, I liked it. I thought it was fun. I thought it had a lot of good build-up. Quit hitting the microphone.
I'm sorry. I have giant hands.
But anyway.
It's one of those episodes.
One of those days. Very loopy. Anyway. Before we move on to talk about episode 20, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so, so much for everybody who goes to iTunes to rate and comment. It really means the world to us when you leave a comment and let us know what you think of the show. It's the best way to let our bosses know that you like the Sword Art Online After Show podcast and that we are giving you the best podcast that we possibly can. And if we're not, we want to hear what we're doing wrong and how we can improve. The people at AfterBuzz
put on... Be nice about it.
Please be nice about it.
we love you guys, but not if you yell at us.
But the people who work behind the scenes at AfterBuzz put on over 80 hours of content every week, which means they work 90 hours a week to give you all this content for free. So we really appreciate it. It doesn't take very long. It takes like 30 seconds if you're already logged into iTunes. It really means the world. And we also love hearing from you guys on YouTube, too. That is always one of the highlights of my day when I go and I see the Sword Art Online comments, because you guys are some of the nicest commenters out there.
I
really
always like Baron of Hell's comments. He's always got fun stuff to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really nice.
I assume he.
He or she.
They. You. We like you.
Who am I?
But honestly, a lot of you guys for the Sword Art Online, like, you guys are the best. It really does warm our hearts. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your continued support. Okay, guys. Episode 20, The Sleeping Knights. All in all, well, did anybody...
What an awful guild name.
Did anybody... I'm really... I don't think it's going to go this route, yes. Obviously, because it's not a life or death game anymore. But did anybody take a look at them and go, you look like the moonlit black cat?
Yes. Immediately.
Let's see. None of you really have personalities. We got the quiet one, the dumb one, and the big one. You're all going to die.
Yeah, seriously.
But it's not going to be permanent, so who cares?
And Yuki is Kirito.
It's just like... dumb guild names.
Although,
the sleeping knight. What are you going to... Are you narcoleptic? Do you sleepwalk?
It's like the sleeping dragon. They all have potential inside. Yeah.
That's really poetic, but I'd rather make fun of them.
Well, be careful. Like, if this does go the way of the moonlit black cats, you might be eating those words.
But it's not a death game. If it goes the way of the moonlit black cats, we are going to have some serious laughing, coughing, desugan stuff up in here. I will always
It's a little
it like
early
that.
To call it.
Yeah. We've only got 6 episodes left in the series. It's a little late to introduce stuff like that going down in this arc.
We'll see. I don't know.
We will.
But we do get introduced to these knights because in addition to Yuki, we've got June, Nori, Suine? It's like S-I-U-N-E.
Suine.
Suine. Okay. That's a way better way of pronouncing
Suine.
It. Talkin and Tetchi. And I like Talkin because
Talkin
they...
It's
like
Talkin.
Well, Talkin doesn't talk very much. He can't talk when he's around a pretty girl, apparently.
Talking on broken glass.
But I kind of liked this introduction because even though we have our main group that everybody jokes is Kirito's harem, I don't think they're actually like a guild together. I don't think they decided to call themselves the Knights of whatever.
The 6 best friends that anyone could have?
Yeah, they're not, like, officially a guild. And so it was kind of nice to, again, have somebody from our group brought into another guild because it's a completely different perspective and history with all these different characters.
Yeah.
What did you guys think?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be a Kirito thing where, they're bringing on someone who's much higher level than them and she's going to carry them. And then it was like, nope, not even close. They are competent people and they just need another body.
Pretty much.
Basically. I mean, and I assume especially having Asuna, who has gone through Ironcrad beyond that point, she'll know some of the details, not all of them, basically, since they've made changes, but she'll have a little more strategic input in that regard.
I was expecting the boss that showed up to be the Grim Eyes. I was both
great.
Disappointed and not
well,
that it wasn't. Because
we're very close to that point, because I think the Gleam Eyes was 28,
that's right.
And we're at 27.
No, it's the same thing. It's got the same setup, and that's why she was having flashbacks. Backs to it.
Well,
they're beating up the lizard people.
It's very similar, but it's not the same. The layout, it's very similar with the lizard bosses and everything like that, and the straightaway like cavern is very different than the cavern that they were in for boss 27
right.
or 28, whatever floor it was. But
that one.
But it was very reminiscent of that because it's in that same subset of boss floors, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my guess. I don't know. I've never played Ironcrad.
I wouldn't plan on it.
No.
Like,
no.
A virtual reality SAO based game. Nope.
But basically, what it is that they were a group of friends, and they, you know, I think they all came in from another game together. Or basically.
I think so. They met in another game.
And they
like
all
that.
Formed
like
this.
Forums.
Yeah, they all formed this guild. And for very vague, unspecific reasons, they're going to have to part ways pretty soon. I assume because of, like, classes and normal real-life stuff. But they just said very vague reasons that we can't go into right now.
All I can think of is Kingdom Hearts 2. Looks like my summer vacation is over.
Boo! Oh. Hey. 4-hour tutorial, sad. Boo!
To know you during these 4 hours, and he's gone. Well, crap.
Where's Sora?
Gosh dang it. But
there's Disney characters coming out of every orifice.
But so what they wanted to do before they part ways, before they have to break up the guild, is to get their names on that big old plaque that's at the Town of Beginnings, because every time a boss floor is cleared, the winners get their name embossed, I guess.
Yeah. Engraved.
Engraved, that's the word.
If you pause it, you can see Kirito's and Asuna's names on there under floors like 17 and 18, I think.
Nice.
Like, I straight up paused it and went, who are these? Oh, there's one. Oh, there's another one. I recognize nobody else.
Yeah, and if you're in a guild together and it's just your guild going in, then all of the guild members' names will be put on the wall. If it's multiple groups and multiple people, it's only the heads of the guilds that get their names.
Parties and guild.
Whatever.
You can have a party of seven people and multiple parties make up a guild.
Right. What they should have done is each one of them should have formed their own individual parties, because they were all strong enough to be leaders.
Yeah.
So they should have just done that instead of being like, we're going to take on this giant monster, just the seven of us.
But they didn't want to make other friends. That's hard.
It is. It's a drag.
Totally.
But that also means that since Kirito's and Asuna's names were on there, they were the leaders of their respective group or groups at the time.
Either that or they just did it together. They're like, hey, this is an easy one, honey. Let's just go ahead and take it down.
Kirito and six other names under floor 16, and then Asuna and six other names under floor 17. So it's like, why don't you take point on this one, and I'll just run around the back and stab it like I always do. Sure thing, dear.
Well,
Have fun.
They do yell switch when they're fighting together, so it's great.
I want to see that again.
I know. How great was that fight?
It's good.
Yeah, because we got that for floor 21, I think it was, like, an episode ago.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
So, actually, we might get that towards the end of this one, but we'll get to that in a bit.
That would be nice.
But they basically, Asuna agrees to help them out because they do have an empty spot, and they want to get as many people in on this as they can, because they've made multiple attempts before and they've never been able to go through. They would try, and then immediately another, like, big party would go in and clear the boss after they did. And so this has happened multiple times. So they're like, we're basically running out of time. We really want to get this one done because we're on a time limit and we want to get this done before we all have to part ways. And so she agrees to help them. She's like, I'm honored, because we had Yuki going out there and essentially, like, recruiting and screening simultaneously.
If we could find someone who was stronger than her, and she's the strongest person in this crew, then, you know, we figured we'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is when Asuna straight up asks Yuki, hey, did you, you fought a Spriggan dressed in black, right? Why didn't you go with that guy? He figured out my secret. With a little smile and everything. Like, if this were a different anime, it would be, he figured out my secret. He's not allowed to live.
He's dead now. But that being said, that kind of gets glanced over because we have this, you know, friendship story going on. But I mean, I guess we can get into it. Do you guys want to talk about that now, or do you guys want to wait till the end of the show to get to predictions as to what we think her secret is?
Oh, let's wait.
Okay.
Yeah, we can wait.
Yeah, all right. We'll glance over it, too. So they all part ways for the night, but Asuna's unexpectedly gets disconnected. She doesn't get to log out. She gets straight up disconnected.
That creeped me out so much. Probably because I was watching this Home Alone in the middle of the night, which I've been watching too much horror lately, and so this immediate disconnect, and then it starts fading to white. I'm like, ah! Wow, that's not okay! Is this what people in SAO saw before their brains were fried, if people tried to unplug them?
No, they saw a pretty sunset.
Yeah.
No, oh, I mean like the ones oh, who that. Died.
Oh, those guys. Yeah, I have no idea.
Those poor idiots.
Those guys.
Disconnect. And then like just this red skull.
You are dead.
You are dead.
Sad.
But it wasn't anything nefarious. It was her mom because Asuna was late for dinner. And that's when we have kind of this confrontation, but instead of, you know, throwing a tantrum or really confronting her mother about it, she just apologizes and she's like, it won't have, you know, next time I'll be more careful. And her mom straight up says, there won't be a next time. You know, this is never happening again. And if it does, you know, she's confiscating the device, which this is Asuna's way of seeing most of the people in her life that she cares about. So that is not an idle threat.
Yeah. On one hand, okay, she's supposed to do the thing. She hasn't done the thing. The reason is video games. This is a usual parenting tactic. I can give her that. She was a minute late to dinner. That's a little, that's interesting.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've all had that point where, like, our parents turn off the TV or and are like, come to dinner. Or
take
like
the laptop.
Yeah.
That happened to me more than once.
My parents never did that. But, you know, we've all had parents go, like, hey, shut it off. We got to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this was very mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Kind of spiteful. Yeah.
Well, I was imagining she was still bitter from Asuna's snide remark the other day or yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, and beyond that, like, and I guess she goes into it a little bit in that, like, she has so much disdain for the nerve gear and, like, everything that it represents because it was 2 years of torment for her.
And this is the one thing that I will relate to for that mom is, how could you go back in? You were stuck there for 2 years of your life in a death game. Why do you want to go back in? Like, that's something I've been saying from the get-go. Why would you do the thing? But it's a conceit of the story. It's a conceit of the world. You know, we'll roll with it. And again, Asuna had more agency, more freedom in that world, and was her own person as opposed to real life. So, of course, she's going to go back to where she can be who she wants to be.
Yeah. And to be fair, her mom doesn't understand because she's never been in that world, conceivably. You know, her.
Yeah.
Obviously, she knows probably a little bit about the technology side of it just from a business aspect, but she's never experienced that world. To her, this is just the thing that puts her daughter in a coma.
Yeah.
And that her daughter willingly undergoes this anytime she hops into that world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's one thing for parents to be like, that kid is staring at the screen, you know, it's turning them into a vegetable as they play video games. It is a little different when your child
really
is literally incapacitated as they play. There's a little bit of a difference.
Right.
So, I don't want to defend her too much, but at the same time, you can understand to an extent.
But they did bring up that if her mom had, like, jostled her or tapped her or talked into her ear or something, that it would have brought up a notification on her visor that she would have seen, oh, someone's trying to get your attention. There's something going on in real life.
Yeah, exactly. And her mom was like, last time you did that, it took you 5 minutes.
I had to say goodbyes and I had to, you know, it's the equivalent of, can I at least find a save point? I can't save in the middle of the Pokemon battle, Mom. Let me finish this.
Please.
Been there, done that. Been there, done that.
But
it's not like you can leave the game paused while you go eat dinner.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of game.
Again, I can see both sides of it, but at the same time, because we understand Asuna's situation better, you know, we're more on her side because it's like, no, that is really unreasonable.
Yeah.
And again, there's that whole vicarious thing and the domineering stereotypical mother or whatever.
Well, and mom doesn't understand and doesn't seem to want to understand. And that's really the kicker. Because you can eventually tell your parent, no, really, I really do need to find a place to save. It'll take me 2 minutes and then I'll be up. And then you come up in 2 minutes. Well, oh, it only took you 2 minutes. I just had to find a save point. And eventually, I need to find a save point is, okay, see you in 5 minutes. For this mom, it's, I need to find a save point. No, you're done.
Right.
Every single time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not caring.
Well, and again, because it's her mom views it as fooling around, not as something that's socially healthy for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and she was doing her homework. Homework is something you do on your own. You can't do it with other people. When was the last time you were in school, Mom? Seriously.
But, But again, it's one of those things, and it's heartbreaking to watch because we see how this is affecting Asuna. Again, very well done without any dialogue, you know, just the way she kind of storms out of the room and everything like that. I really enjoyed that because it was just a very quiet scene where it's just her staring at her phone, thinking about calling Kirito, but decides against it. Yeah. So, well done, series. Well done.
And I love that her top three calls were Kirito, Liz, Mom. Mm. Those were her most recent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. But, okay, so we get back into the game, and they're basically formulating their battle strategy. And they're basically like, okay, in the event we all die, we'll all meet up at this save point and we'll try again.
And even if you die, stick around. Keep watching things.
Yeah, exactly.
Use your little fairy flame and just keep your eyes open.
And so as they're making their way through the cavern fighting lizard men, that's when Asuna noticed something is amiss. And what she discovers is that there were actually three spies there. Spies.
Yeah. Spies, scouts, six people. Of one, half a dozen of the other.
And they're like, oh, sorry, we're just waiting for our friends. You know, don't mind us. You go right ahead and fight the boss. We're not going to go for it. And so they.
Then why were you cloaked?
We do have one of them casting a spell before they go into the room. And as we find out after the boss fight, Asuna is able to piece together that no, these guys are scouts who their specific mission is to watch us take on the boss, find out all the boss's tactics and weaknesses and defensive moves
and attack patterns.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then use that information when they get all their guys together to go in and fight the boss. And basically, you're doing all the legwork for them, and they've done this multiple times.
Yeah.
All those times where you fought the boss and then somebody else fought it after you.
It was
this
them.
Was why.
So we're going to run up right now, and we're going to take another crack at the boss before they have a chance to assemble everyone they want to do. Because it's going to take an hour for them to get together the 50-some-odd people that they want.
Exactly.
So let's roll.
Yeah, so they make a beeline straight back for the boss, but more people have shown up. And they're like, well, sorry, we would let you go, but we're under orders not to let anybody pass. If you've got a problem with it, take it up with Guild HQ.
I love that the line is, sorry, right now this is a dead end.
Yeah.
There's a door right there, bro.
And it's not even like, it's like, okay, well, you've got your orders from your guild, like, that doesn't mean anything to us.
Right.
We're not under your orders. That's not how that works.
No. And it basically boils down to Yuki going, well, sometimes you really do have to clash if you want to make a point. If you want to get what you want, you have to fight for it.
Yeah. Sometimes the only way to communicate is to fight or to clash in some way, shape, or form. I love that these guys basically act like they're the freaking Einkrad Liberation Army. That they think that just saying, sorry, yeah, you can't come over here, like, that's going to stop anyone.
You have no authority. It's like, I keep my authority in this sheath. You named your sword authority?
But yeah, our group is basically getting ready to fight. They're like, you know what? If you're not going to let us go, we're going to fight you for it. And you know, you might outnumber us, but I mean, it's quality versus quantity.
Right.
And Yuki beats the daylights out of the guy that they've been talking to.
Yeah.
Takes three, four hits.
Yeah. He's like, you got a cheap shot. It's like, no.
You sucker punched me. Drawing your sword. You
sucker punched me. That little girl is fighting dirty. Everyone saw that, right? but basically, Asuna comes to the realization with, you know, this affirmation from Yuki that, you know, sometimes you have to clash in order to communicate what you want. And she thinks of her mother. And that makes me think that the next time she logs out, she's going to have it out with her mom.
There is going to be a verbal knockdown drag out, and it will not be pretty.
No.
But I don't think we're going to get it until the end of next episode, if that early.
Yeah. We will see. And then Asuna will have her AmuSmear gear confiscated, and that will be the end of the series.
Kirito shows up on his motorcycle,
has a boombox over his head.
You can play at my house, baby.
No.
Oh.
Don't you forget about me.
I get different movie. Yeah, that's The Breakfast Club.
Shoot! What's that one?
I forget the one with John Cusack with the boombox.
No, what was the song with the boombox?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
fine.
Because that one's the Breakfast Club.
Our systems detect that a host is wanted.
Thank you kindly. See, you got me in trouble. Anyway.
You got yourself in trouble.
Anyway.
We're all in trouble.
Well, speaking of Kirito showing up, sure enough, as this guild is getting reinforcements, Kirito's in there, and I just loved his intro. He just ran up the side of the wall, jumped into the fray, and pulled out his sword and goes, "Sorry, this is a dead end."
Like, did you see that he had joined the guild?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He had the little icon next to his health bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so whether...
Stealth, Kirito style.
It's Kirito to the rescue.
And pretend to be subtle.
I don't know if Asuna had been communicating with him to be like, "Hey, I'm just giving you a heads up on like everything going on," because she had messaged a few of her friends. She was like, "Oh, I'll message you when I get back, mm-hmm. when I get done with all of this." So I don't know if this is just him going on his own. If he overheard this guild talking about their plan, which has happened before.
Yeah.
So I highly doubt it's him just kind of tailing Asuna to make sure everything's okay.
His Kirito sense was tingling.
People aren't playing fair. I have to use my ability to cheat to set them straight.
Is he still able to cheat at this point?
Technically, technically
dual wielding.
Technically, his like single wielding with both hands was considered sort of cheating, but anyway.
Yeah, exploiting the system.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, we are running short on time. I think it's time we get into predictions, since we can actually make them this time
around. Oh my gosh!
And now,
I love the light show.
TV predictions.
I hate to state the obvious, but I think Yuki is a product of the game. I don't think she's necessarily like Yui, that in that she was built in the game. I think that given what we know about the game and its ability to change and evolve in terms of the lore, as we saw in the last arc, I think that this is the next step.
You think the cardinal system spat her out?
Something like that, yeah. Or yeah. whatever the updated cardinal system is now. Yeah, I think she is a product of this ever-evolving system.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Especially, I think having the the Excalibur arc was just to prove that it was a thing that was possible, and then
or to show that the system was growing and changing at the very least on its own.
We have an NPC without the markers of an NPC at this point. It's a smart AI.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's what
I don't think the game created her just to be an NPC. I think this is a new artificial intelligence created by the game.
We're getting into dot hack territory.
Yeah, a little bit.
I've been in dot hack territory, but we're going deeper.
Yeah, that and another, as you said, knockout, drag out argument with Asuna and her mom, and that's not going to be pretty.
The knockdown, drag out.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on this week, guys?
Is it here yet?
I know. Now we have to wait.
I will be here next week. I'll be in Colorado, but hey, have fun recapping without me.
Yeah.
Oh, bummer. Well, anyway, Tari, any final thoughts?
Good episodes. Looking forward to the next one.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Tari Miller, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. That's TauriJay.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Kiaxet. That's KIAXET. I am also on Z Nation, Star Wars Rebels, and Arrow, the latter two of which are taking a break this week.
Steven, if he's still there.
Yep.
And you can follow Liz at Lizzie Maui on Twitter, and you can follow me on Twitter at The Menguin. That's TheMenguin. Folks, thank you so much again.
Not again! You are finished. You can follow Stephen Lemieux at Yup.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you guys next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.